to the Resilient Migrant Podcast, a podcast where African immigrants get to talk about their experiences as they assimilate to a different country. This is your host, Brenda Gure.
I have a wonderful guest with me today. Her name is Rosemary Karaoke, all the way from Australia. Rosemary, how are you?
Good, thanks, Brenda. Here in Down Under, we are having a lot of wind, but summer is knocking on the door.
Oh, so your summer is coming up?
Yeah, it's coming up soon.
Oh, so what kind of weather is down there?
It's spring.
Oh, it's spring.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We've just finished winter, we are now in spring, just another 2 weeks and into summer.
So how long are your summers?
About about 3 months.
Okay. So I need
What about you?
So right now we are heading to fall here in Canada, and then we'll get into winter. So it looks like if I need to come and visit Australia, I need to come and visit when it's winter here, because it's going to be summer.
Jackie comes around the October to December there.
Okay. And Jackie is your sister here in Canada.
Yes. She's my baby sister.
Oh, nice to hear that. Wow. Thank you for gracing me in this podcast. I I read a lot about you online, and I'm like, I'm going to have to look for this woman, because, man, she has a story behind her. Thank you. By the way, you look very beautiful, very, very beautiful with your African attire.
Thank you. I love promoting our African attire. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of TV, broadcasts, whatever. If I just dress up the other way, the first question is, why did you wear your African outfit? Now I am used to now. When I'm doing anything to do with media, I always dress up in the African. Just to promote also our culture.
You really look beautiful. And I hope when I have the YouTube channel, people will get to see how beautiful you look.
Thank you.
So before we start about your work in Australia, I'd like to know what country you were born in, and at what part of that country were you born at?
I was born in 1916 in a small village in Kenya called Eldoret in the Rift Valley. Mm-hmm. And that's where the marathon runners comes from.
Ooh.
Although I'm not a runner, but I'm a very good cheerer.
Oh, God. Well, you can't always do everything. So you are a cheerer and they're runners. Wow.
Yes.
And it's good to know that most marathoners actually come from the Eldoret part of Kenya.
Yes.
That's great.
That's where they come from, yes.
So did you go to school in Eldoret?
I come from a very big family. Mm-hmm. My dad had two wives. Mm-hmm. We were 16 children, and we all lived under one roof.
Mm-hmm.
And we had cousins, aunties, everyone, neighbors. They all lived at, because we used to, my father was a cash crop farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And also was a dairy farmer, so there was a lot of work to be done. So we were the better.
Wow.
So in school, my father never went to school. He used to say he went to school on a Saturday, and he found that the school is not on weekends.
Oh.
He used to make fun. And even my mom never went to school, but they believed in education. He took us to schools. The best schools around, like I started in the local school called Township. Then in higher primary, he took us to a boarding school in Western Kenya called Lugulu Girls. It's a very good big school in Western Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Then for my high school, I went to a school called Kapkenda. Kapkenda Girls in Elgeyo, Kenyo Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to college in Nyeri. I did my secretarial college, a diploma there. I went, and then from I came from Eldoret, went to Western, then came to Kerio Valley, then moved to Central Kenya. And I immediately I finished, I came and got married in Nairobi. Like, I did a circle.
So you really traveled around the country.
Yes, I went around, yes.
Okay, that's great, great experiences. And you mentioned your dad. I read somewhere that he was a freedom fighter.
Yeah, my dad was dead for 7 years, you know, during Mau Mau time.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was left. They were all born in Rift Valley, because I come from a big family. My great-great-grandfather was a medicine man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who gave the missionaries, the first missionaries that came to, we come originally from around Tinanga, what is it called? Yeah, in Kiambu. They give them a place to build. Mm-hmm. You remember how the British came and took the land? Mm-hmm. But at that time, they took my grandfather, mm-hmm. they took them to Rift Valley because they were very powerful in their medicine. Mm-hmm. And because the British also feared them. So it's as if they took them with the train and went and drove them. Like, if there was nothing at that time. And that's how my father and the family ended up that side.
Okay. It's
in Rift Valley. So as we were born there, my dad was born those sites too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when they did demarcation of land, because mm-hmm. my family lineage, they were not in central Kenya, so they never got land.
Oh.
So we never went back there. I went to where my family originated from. When I got married in Nairobi, my late auntie is the one who took me mm-hmm. to show me where we come from.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And it was a very hard time for my mom.
Oh, real, real family history with a lot of lessons. And I think now when you're talking about your dad and your family, I can see where your passion for support of Africans as a community comes in. Mm. So after your life in Kenya, it got to a point you left Kenya after moving to all these cities. You ended up to Australia. What made you move to Australia?
Yeah, when I left, when I stayed in Nairobi and mm-hmm. I got my two sons there, mm-hmm. then when my marriage ended, I went back home to mm-hmm. Eldoret mm-hmm. because, as you know, life is very difficult. And during that time mm-hmm. is when the tribal clashes was very live in the Rift Valley. And in fact, Eldoret was it was like the hotspot for mm-hmm. the tribal clashes. Mm-hmm. So I left Kenya in 1999 because of tribal clashes, and I came to Australia. Mm-hmm. And how did I end up in Australia? In Australia, I am that person who like adventure. Mm-hmm. As you know, Kenyans go to US and the UK. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I never even knew where Australia was, because mm-hmm. I was not good in geography, but I knew it's very, very far. I wanted to go to the farthest place uh-huh. because I was so angry. You know how our country is beautiful.
Yes.
And then this war, they have come and like corrupted everyone. Like, why are we fighting each other? Mm-hmm. So when I came here in 1999, mm-hmm. I didn't know anyone, mm-hmm. but I had hope and faith that I'm going to be a better life. And for sure, I was not drunk. I was really praying because I'm a very prayerful person. Mm-hmm. And I had this peace mm-hmm. in the country I was going to.
Wow.
And when I was choosing the country I want to go to, because everybody tells you US, everybody tells you UK.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so I thought, God choose for me the country you know I'll fit in.
Yes, yes.
And mm-hmm. one lady told me about Australia. Mm-hmm. And during that time when I'm looking for a place to go, I applied and I got a visa and I came.
Oh, wow. And that's how you got to Australia.
Yes.
How was life when you got there, when you first got there?
It was very lonely. As mm-hmm. you hear, I come from a big family. My father, first of all, passed away a long time ago.
Okay.
When we were still young in school. Mm-hmm. So our mothers brought us up, but mm-hmm. We used to live together. But when my father passed away, so we divided. Mm-hmm. So they went to another farm, and us were left in the original farm. Because mm-hmm. my mom was the first wife. Mm-hmm. So when I came here, it was the Aussies, we call them Aussies, Australians. They don't talk to you. They don't say hi to you. And you know, back home, everybody talks to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? And during that time is when mm-hmm. I decided, I thought, what can I do during my lonely time? Mm-hmm. And I thought, because I'm not that type of a person mm-hmm. who just sit down and self-pity. I like doing action. Mm-hmm. So I saw an advertisement looking for people to go and visit lonely people in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. And I said, what a good way of a lonely person visiting another lonely person. Mm-hmm. And that's where my journey for volunteering started. When I was very new, school the, my first 3 months.
Wow, wow, wow. Yes. And I guess that's where you got the passion of being, when you saw the isolation and loneliness, you wanted to do something. And that led you to something that I read about the Christmas cards. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So during that time, I'm in this place. I used to live in a building of 15 units. Mm-hmm. And nobody used to talk to me. Mm-hmm. No one in mm-hmm. the whole block of units. Mm-hmm. And I got cards to send to Kenya for Christmas. Mm-hmm. But I didn't end up sending. So I thought, these cards, I'll send to these people here. Mm-hmm. So I took a card. Mm-hmm. I write the DI unit number one. Mm-hmm. My name is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. This is my telephone number. I'm wishing you Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. And could you please be talking to me? And mm-hmm. some minutes before midnight, mm-hmm. I put all the cards under the door.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Oh. Say on 24th. Wow. And it just changed the people. From that time, everyone started talking to me. They even started visiting. We started visiting each other. I don't even think we were visiting each other, but now everybody started stopping and talking to each other, and it changed, and everyone was very happy.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. that one taught me something. When you see a need, do something about it. Not only just sitting there and complaining, because I see when we come here mm-hmm. as migrants or refugees or whatever, we just start saying, oh, they don't do this. Or even when we are here, we complain about home.
That's
there's bad governance. But so for me, I always ask you, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead mm-hmm. of just saying it is bad, but what are you doing to correct that bad thing that is happening? There's this boy who I met. They had come to visit. Mm-hmm. And he was about 18, maybe 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I just asked him about how is Kenya, blah, blah. He started. Mm-hmm. Just talking about how the government is corrupt, blah, blah, blah. I just listened, and then I said, mm-hmm. it's very, very sad. Mm-hmm. And I said, why? Because mm-hmm. you're just talking the way your parents are talking, the way your grandparents are talking. And you need to ever change the talk.
Yeah.
And I said, what mm-hmm. do you mean by that? And mm-hmm. I said, I said, when did you ever do something? Mm-hmm. For your community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, like what? Mm-hmm. And I said, have you ever gone to the village where you come from? Because back home, everybody has a village. Mm-hmm. And you see in all the villages how the youth are very helpless. They are mm-hmm. drinking. The mm-hmm. girls are getting children when they are 13 years. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone back there and mm-hmm. see how you can empower those kids? Mm-hmm. You don't even have to use money because everybody goes, oh, I don't have any money. I said, mm-hmm. you don't have to use any money. Mm-hmm. Just empower, giving them ideas. Mm-hmm. And he said, like what? Mm-hmm. And I said, you can go and start meetings of empowering. Then from that, you can say, let us clean our town. Mm-hmm. Then once you start doing that, mm-hmm. then you can say, look, we can even be making bricks mm-hmm. and selling.
That's
or cool. We can go to the local school mm-hmm. and build a water tank with our own hands.
Yes.
Once
yes.
you start that, you give people apples. Mm-hmm. And when you empower the people from there, mm-hmm. that's how they remove a corrupt leader. Mm-hmm. But if you just stop and you're not doing anything, you are worse than the ones who are just stealing from the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe. When you see something, do something about it.
Be part of the solution.
Yes.
Just don't talk about it. Be part of the solution. That is something exactly. Rosemary is telling us. And yes. your story is very, very powerful because you did not stop there. You gave the Christmas cards to your neighbors. You started having a friendship. And out of that, you built something that you're working on in the community. Actually, yes. the United Refugee Agency, UN Refugee Agency calls you the Kenyan powerhouse that is improving the women's lives. I was like, wow,
yes.
this is a powerhouse of women, of a woman who's working with immigrants and refugees. Mm. And I yeah. think now as I'm talking to you, I can hear what you say, that you came from a big family. You are always around people. And you come to a country where people are just lonely and talking and not talking to each other. And you have the solution inside you. And you're like, I'm going to start wherever I have to. And for you, it was just a Christmas card. So can you talk about some of the work you're currently doing with immigrant and refugee women and what kind of support you're giving them?
So when I volunteered in this nursing home for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and then when I visit somebody, then they pass on. Then I get another one, they pass on. They give me another one, they pass on. Mm-hmm. And you know, now that is my family. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any other family. So they become my part of my family. Mm-hmm. And when you lose a part of your family, it really wears you down. And I told my coordinator, you know, why can't you give me the ones who are not dying? Mm-hmm. So at least I can have friendship longer. Mm-hmm. And he said, Rosemary, everyone here is dying. Mm-hmm. And we give you the ones who are dying so that you can make, we can die happy, because you are a happy person. You make them happy.
Wow.
And I said, I have had enough. So I started saying, I said, so I finished with them. I said, let me do something else. I started looking where the Africans are, because where I used to live is only the Aussies. They are mm-hmm. Australians, mm-hmm. white Australians. So I started looking where the Africans are. Mm-hmm. But all those time I stayed there, like I stayed in that area for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I only saw two Africans in the bus stop.
Oh, wow.
So I used to see an African at a train station on the other platform. Mm-hmm. You will go around to go and meet them. You see as if you have seen your lost brother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so I looked until I got the president of the African Community Council. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to meet with him, and I said, and we talked, and I went to their next meeting. Mm-hmm. And I was elected as a women representative, and that's where the journey continued. Mm-hmm. So, and that is the time when the South Sudanese, mm-hmm. the Liberians, mm-hmm. and the Sierra Leoneans were coming in huge number. Here in Australia. Mm-hmm. So I started supporting them. They were not accessing services. They were mm-hmm. not. I had a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. And one thing, I don't know who is Canada, but mm-hmm. in Australia, people don't give you information. They don't refuse to give you, mm-hmm. but if you don't ask, they don't tell you. They think it's interfering with your life. And that's what I used to get frustrated. How they expect you to ask, how do you ask something you don't know? Mm-hmm. We don't have all the services back home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true. Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what is there. What can I ask? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I started, and I said, why you are waiting for somebody to ask you a question and they don't know what to ask. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking, how do these people get services? Mm-hmm. And you know, they have big families, mm-hmm. and they don't have transport, mm-hmm. they don't have English, mm-hmm. and they don't have they don't have employment. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking, how can they access services? Because mm-hmm. services are there. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to bring them
to access them.
And that's mm-hmm. how I started thinking, what can I do with the men? Mm-hmm. And I thought, with men, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Not men from any background. They don't go to workshops or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So that one I put aside. I thought about the youth. I said, the youth get information from the school. Mm-hmm. And that's how I zeroed with the women.
Oh, okay.
And I said, what does the women like? Mm-hmm. And I said, women love dressing up. Mm-hmm. Women like eating good food, mm-hmm. and women love dancing. Dancing is in our bloodstream.
That's
we
true.
Dance everywhere, whether it is death, whether it is a child is born, mm-hmm. whether you are crying or laughing, we do that using music and dancing. Mm-hmm. And that's how the first African women in a dance was born in 2006.
Oh, wow.
And when I started selling the ideas to the services, everyone told me, Rosemary, nobody can fund you. Mm-hmm. Nobody can fund women in the, in a dinner dance. Nobody mm-hmm. can fund. And I said, this is not a dinner dance. Mm-hmm. It's a vehicle mm-hmm. for people to come and learn the services which are there. Because mm-hmm. we'll have stalls, mm-hmm. and the women can go to the stalls and see mm-hmm. how maybe it is about the school, mm-hmm. or about if you didn't maybe have proper education, how you can study as an adult student, mm-hmm. or maybe there's so many services there. Mm-hmm. So I went, but the good thing with me, I have this thing inborn. Mm-hmm. If I believe in something, I don't give up.
Wow.
I keep mm-hmm. on talking good. Until I always believe one person will hear what I'm saying. And for sure, there's one lady who listened to what I'm saying and said, Rosemary, let us do it.
Mm.
And we met three of us. And we organized it. And when we were about, so I said, no, we have to invite the Africans, so because they can tell their own community. So mm-hmm. we invited the women, and the first African women dinner dance, we had 350 women attend.
Wow, that's a big group.
And we had a woman who came and talked about domestic violence, how she lived in an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. and how she came out of that mm-hmm. and where she is and the journey. Mm-hmm. And for sure, the following Monday, 20 women came to report domestic violence.
Ooh.
Because most people think domestic violence is just hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic violence is controlling.
Mm-hmm.
It is somebody telling you cannot call your mother, you cannot call your friend,
mm-hmm.
your friends cannot visit you,
mm-hmm.
or you cannot go and visit, you cannot use your money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have a credit card, but you cannot even buy lunch
mm-hmm.
until you call your husband or partner to tell them, I want to buy markers, which is $10.
Mm-hmm.
Controlling.
Controlling.
So many, many of us, we don't know that is an abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they drain all your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And you are left, that's why you see somebody who was so outgoing and you meet them and think, what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
So from after that, the women said they want it. And now we were supposed to have one. In fact, today,
mm-hmm.
the 15th African Women Dinner Dance.
Oh, wow.
Yes, but we have pushed it ahead to February.
Okay.
Because we are in lockdown here in Sydney. A lot of the states in Australia, they're in lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you have to be double vaccinated
mm-hmm.
to be able to attend any public venues.
Oh.
So that's why we pushed forward. And the women are fine and they are really waiting for it. And they make new dresses.
Wow. You should,
I'm sure you have seen it on online.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of pictures online of some of those women dances or women meetings. And the one thing I like is the fact that women still wear the African attire or whatever nationality they belong to, because that is part of your identity. And even as an immigrant, sometimes we lose that acceptance, or we just try to blend into the communities we are in, but we sometimes want to keep our authenticity ourselves as a community. So it's good. I am glad I see that with you. I see a lot of African attires. Sometimes I see you with headgears. So continue with the great work you're doing.
Yes. And if you look at the dinner dance, mm-hmm. there's no man. The only man who is there, the DJ mm-hmm. or the photographer, they are working for the women.
Ah.
It's no children.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day where a woman comes alone. You don't have to keep on looking on the side, where's my husband, where's the child?
Uh-huh.
You just dress up
uh-huh.
and just come uh-huh. and just enjoy. Just meet other people. Uh-huh. And through that, people have made friendships.
Uh-huh.
They have known the services which are there for them.
Uh-huh.
And through that, that's how the culture exchange program was born.
Oh.
The culture exchange program was born in my kitchen. We were cooking breakfast
uh-huh.
after one of the dinner dance. Some women came from the countryside
uh-huh.
and they stayed in our homes.
Uh-huh.
And when we were making breakfast, we started talking, oh, what do you call that? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
We can do the eggs on a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, wow, we can do this. So they invited us to go to their place.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, two times in a year, mm-hmm. we go to the region countries
mm-hmm.
and we stay with the host families for 3 days, Friday, oh. Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
We don't know the host.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't met us, but when we go, you'll think we are from one group. We are from one.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go, not only Africa, for me, I'm a big believer even now.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a country or even you go and mix with those people.
Mm-hmm.
People like living, and I saw it when I came to visit Jackie when she used to live in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
They're only with Kenyans. And why did you leave Kenya? You mm-hmm. need to meet even the other communities, the Ethiopians, the mm-hmm. Ghanaians, or the Pacific, or the local people there, the white people there. You see, they just live by themselves. Why mm-hmm. do you want to live by you in silos?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you mix, like when you go to with the culture exchange program, you have Iraqi, mm-hmm. Afghan, Pakistan, mm-hmm. African of different countries.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Aboriginal, mm-hmm. we have the white Australians are the ones who host us, because they are the ones who live in the countryside.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
our migrants, the refugees, most of them stay in big towns so that they can get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of good things come out of those 3 days.
Wow.
Because they live together, they share stories,
mm-hmm.
they help each other look for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They some, and you know, most people here, just like in Canada or any first world country, you don't have any family.
That's true.
So the people you find, those are your families. So
mm-hmm.
you make friendships. During this lockdown, this COVID time, it has been very hard for them. Mm-hmm. And you know, most of them, especially the refugees, have a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So we have WhatsApp group. I give them some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
How they can do a picnic outside their door, mm-hmm. or they can visit three of them and just take a train and go to another mm-hmm. place for 1 or 2 hours, mm-hmm. have a coffee there, then come back. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it, and they help each other look for jobs. And when they talk among themselves, because we are very busy, I'm organizing, I'm mm-hmm. coordinating.
Mm-hmm.
So they come holding hands and they come and report domestic violence.
Wow.
Or maybe they have a son who is 16 years or a girl and is refusing to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know what to do. I connect them and refer them with services. Because here in this country, I don't know about your country, we have a lot of services.
Wow.
Australia is a beautiful country. I about racism, there is, but it's under the carpet, and it's not as much as I saw in the US.
Oh, okay.
Here, people are diplomatic, and it's not allowed. So, if you know it's happening, you can report somebody,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
you can stop it. And once you even say that is not okay, and mm-hmm. they are very respectful and they are very good people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go, we've gone to different region areas. In 2019, mm-hmm. we went international, we went to a country called Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
So these women who had nothing, who don't go anywhere,
uh-huh.
they don't even go to another town,
uh-huh.
we went to Fiji for our 7 days.
Oh, wow.
And they became international. So it is a very, very, I use social setups to reach to the people.
Mm-hmm.
If you invite somebody for dinner, mm-hmm. when you're having dinner, they start opening up. Or when you go for a picnic, you go for walks.
Mm-hmm.
I do high teas
mm-hmm.
to talk about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I do mother and daughter dinner dance.
Mm-hmm.
So that the mother and daughter, they look at each other. They, you know, you're in the house. You don't look at your daughter in the eyes,
yes.
or your son.
Mm-hmm.
You are talking in the same house, but you talk because you are going to rush into work,
mm-hmm.
or you are so tired, you are just talking when you are passing.
Yes.
But you never stop and sit and just have a conversation.
Wow, wow.
So it's our time of stopping, and the women, they were so happy. And we talk, when we do the dinner, we talk about early marriages, mm-hmm. post-marriages,
mm-hmm.
all those types of the things women talk.
Wow.
So you mm-hmm. then about Haiti, we talk about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
We bring women from the community who have mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
and we come with a carer,
mm-hmm.
and we come with a counselor, and we come with a support person, and they give the scenario,
mm-hmm.
and people can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are visual people.
Yes, yeah.
How mental? Because we always say we don't have mental health,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
everybody can have mental health issues.
That's true.
So they see there's help out there for them.
Oh,
I am a big believer of giving back to the community.
Wow.
Because we came to this country years before, we just followed dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Up to when will you ever stop?
Yeah. It's never enough.
It is mm-hmm. never enough.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and just even sitting next to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Just even if you don't want to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
In the office, you see somebody who was very vibrant, now is not talking. Just go and sit next to them during mealtime.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they don't come to the dining, the meal room, can go and sit next to them at the desk time, go with a coffee, mm-hmm. if it is maybe morning tea.
Mm-hmm.
Start something in your office. You can start a multicultural day,
mm-hmm.
like once a month, or even every 3 months, you say, everybody bring your cultural food,
mm-hmm.
and then you share. And wow. by doing that, you build trust.
Mm-hmm.
Your neighbors you never talk to. Just
wow.
go, if they have children, during something, even you can make things or buy something and go and pick the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's a mother who is wearing a hijab,
yes.
and doesn't even look up when she's walking, or even any
mm-hmm.
Refugee woman or migrant woman,
mm-hmm.
just say hello
mm-hmm.
or remove their beads
mm-hmm.
and a conversation starts. Or do,
wow.
mm-hmm. or
wow.
do a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things you can reach out. And I'll give you a story about my friend.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, she's an Australian, a white
mm-hmm.
Australian.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to this chapel
mm-hmm.
where it's in a mental health hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there are not many people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who go to that chapel, they are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So this one time, and it's never full, it's very few people.
But mm-hmm.
And this girl, she was about 13 or 14 years,
mm-hmm.
and she came and sat next to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the morning on a Sunday around 10,
mm-hmm.
and he said, can I lie on you? Mm-hmm. And my friend just looked and said, okay. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine a homeless, she has how she's smelling, mm-hmm. how she's... So she lied on her lap. Mm-hmm. And that girl slept for 2 hours.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And when she woke up, mm-hmm. she told my friend, I can't remember when I slept. Because she's homeless and she's a girl. Mm-hmm. And she sleeps.
Yeah,
that she got because she's being raped, she's wherever, mm-hmm. so she can't sleep, she's scared somewhere. Mm-hmm. She can't sleep because there's a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. And she, can you imagine if my friend said no? And then when she woke up, she said, can you give me a hug? Mm-hmm. And my wow. friend gave her a hug, mm-hmm. and she said she has never been hugged.
That is sad. That is sad.
It is so powerful. Okay. I looked at, and she told me, Rosemary, I did that because of you. I remembered, what would have you done if it was you? I said, what could have Rosemary done? Mm-hmm. And she did it. I have another friend, he lives in a different, maybe 7 hours drive. Mm-hmm. And during this lockdown, there's a lot of backpackers. Mm-hmm. And when they lock down, there's no work because mm-hmm. of COVID and mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. And there was all these young, you know, backpackers, most of them are young, maybe mm-hmm. because they have a gap year, mm-hmm. 18, 19, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And he said, what could have Rosemary done in such a situation?
Oh.
And he lives in a farm, mm-hmm. and he opened his farm and he gave them somewhere. They put their tents. Mm-hmm. He showed them the kitchen, rallied the community, they brought food, and they stayed there. He told me he had 20 of them.
Wow, wow.
So you do something, somebody else to say, what can I do in such a situation? We can mm-hmm. do so many things. Some people, you can't be Rosemary. Mm-hmm. But God has given you a gift. You have something that I don't have. Yeah. I can never do the things I do if I don't have lovely people mm-hmm. around me. Have wonderful people. Friends come to me and stay with me. Mm-hmm. That's even something big. I don't take for granted. And somebody leaves their home, come and stays with me for overnight. That's a big thing.
That's gone
somewhere else or yeah. even stayed in their home. Yeah. Like now when I became the Australian of the Year, mm-hmm. I'm not good. Whatever I do is from my heart. I've mm-hmm. never learned about it. Mm-hmm. My background is business administration. Mm-hmm. And whatever I'm doing, I do community. This is what I learned from the time I was young because my home is mm-hmm. the same.
Yes.
But you have seen how Jackie also gives to the community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My sisters, even my brothers, that's what they do back home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it is, I have a lot of good people who support me around me. For example, I have so many talks mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. And when I get an email, I flick it to them. Mm-hmm. And I have four of them and they go through it. And mm-hmm. they highlight for me where I'm supposed to see. Mm-hmm. And they remind me. They said, it was meant to be, you are going here. And you need, this is the topic. Mm-hmm. So, and it helped me, they volunteer, they just offered.
Wow.
So you give and other people give to you.
That's true.
I couldn't have done this without all the women, even those of the projects I do, I don't do them alone. Mm-hmm. I have an organization called African Women Group that I founded in 2006. Uh-huh. It has wonderful women that just support me. I couldn't do that by my own.
So
mm-hmm. don't think, when you have an idea, share it. And if you cannot, even the quiet people, you mm-hmm. still can do something.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that you say it. You say it that each one of us has a gift. Each one of us has a calling. Whatever is bothering you, I want to remind our listeners what you said. Mm-hmm. Be part of the solution. And you're being part of the solution in Australia. And that's why you had the Australia of the Year Award this year, the Local Hero 2021. So that explains a lot of things that you do. Sometimes it comes from the heart. And that's why I wanted you to talk about where you started, how things are, some of the challenges. I think one of the things I want you to tell me, what are some of the challenges that you see with the kind of work you do?
The challenges are there and there are a lot. The mm-hmm. first thing is the people, your community, and the people close to you, they bring you down.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In the way they talk or the way they say. Mm. But you are not doing that for anyone. You are not doing it for the glory. I never did this to be the local hero.
Yeah.
I didn't do this to get this. I did it to put a smile on somebody hurting inside their heart. Because I've gone through that journey. Mm-hmm. I know how it is hurting. Mm-hmm. And I say, it cost me nothing. why can't I share that? I have the resources. I know how I can save this person. Mm-hmm. Why don't I tell them? Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, leave alone Rosemary. She just likes story showing. Who mm-hmm. told her to be an adult? She's the IOM, because most people call me Mama Africa. Who made her Mama Africa? And I remember when I came to US, I went around the world. Mm-hmm. And we had just finished the African Women Dinner Dance. Mm-hmm. And going around the world is something you have organized for so many years. Mm-hmm. I had said when I bring my children and they're standing on their 2 feet, I will pay myself by going around the world. So uh-huh. something I, they said, oh, you see, Rosemary is eating the women money. You see, she's going around the world. If I buy a car, I bought with the women's money. Mm-hmm. If I do this, but it did not. Cut my hands mm-hmm. or make me stop doing what I am doing. Mm-hmm. We have a saying that the eyes of the frog cannot refuse a cow to drink water. Uh-huh. So I never stopped. And one thing I kept on telling myself, I didn't do this because somebody told me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do this to get, I do it because I know mm-hmm. what it's doing. When your sister or is hurting, you're hurting.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
When your neighbor is hurting, you're hurting. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the challenges and is the biggest.
Okay.
The people you think they will support you, they are the ones watering down everything you are doing. But God sends you other people.
Wow.
Another challenge I have is I don't have any funding to do what I do. Mm-hmm. So, I got door knocking to people but to organizations. Mm-hmm. I have a very good relationship, thank God, with many services. Mm-hmm. So I partner with them. Mm-hmm. I partner with them so that they can pay the bills. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of doing that takes a lot of time too. Mm-hmm. But I still do it. So I always say never stop doing anything because that you don't have any money.
There's always going to be a way sometime.
There will always be a way. And there's the money. The only thing is just to sit down and write the funding. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not good at that, and my women, the same, we are all volunteers. Mm-hmm. But now I think we have reached a stage now we want to get registered mm-hmm. as an organization. All mm-hmm. these years, 15 years, we have never, that was intentional.
Wow.
We got an organization which auspices us. Mm-hmm. So they receive all the monies we get and they pay all the bills. I don't touch any single cent.
Wow.
The money is the beginning of all evil. That's... And especially if you're dealing with money, for majority of people, mm-hmm. it starts the so people don't know that's what I do. So they see me with a nice clothes. Oh, that is a women's man. Me, I don't touch any single thing. And that's why I'm happy.
Wow.
Because I don't have to think, oh my God, I ate their money or I did this.
Mm-hmm. No, wow, mm-hmm. wow. You just do what you were called to and what you love yes. and keep going. Great, yes. great, great work. We are almost ending our conversation today. Before I ask you some fun question, I want to ask you one question. What's the one question you think I should have asked you and I didn't ask you?
maybe a personal question like how is my family?
Oh, okay. Tell us something about your family. I wanted to ask actually one of your... The reason you do the kind of work you do with gender-based violence community is because you also have your own story. Can you speak yes. about it in a nutshell?
I went through very bad domestic violence, but funny enough, I didn't know it was domestic violence mm-hmm. until I came to this country mm-hmm. and I worked with the police, with the New South Wales Police mm-hmm. as a community liaison officer for the last 15 years.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
I love my job. Mm-hmm. And my role is to support those women struggling and mm-hmm. connecting them and mm-hmm. giving them hope. Mm-hmm. It was very bad, abuse because it was emotional, psychological, mm-hmm. Name it. Mm-hmm. It was everything that you can, only maybe hitting. Mm-hmm. I didn't, and he hit me maybe twice, and mm-hmm. I didn't believe it because I feared being beaten. Mm-hmm. So, and I said, I said, if you ever hit me, mm-hmm. I'm gonna kill you. I don't know where that one came. He never hit me, mm-hmm. but he now abused me in so many other ways. But mm-hmm. what I always remember, I used to say, don't violate my human rights. At that time, I didn't even know there was a body called human rights.
No.
I used to say, don't violate my human rights.
Uh-huh.
I can't laugh when I want to laugh. I cannot visit anybody. And you know how I love people. Can you imagine me being told, don't go and visit or don't be visited?
Yeah.
I broke all those rules.
Wow.
And I think that's what made me survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people there's a way. Because back home, they keep on telling you, oh, you can't break your marriages. You can't do this. I always say, God can forgive you by leaving an abusive relationship, mm-hmm, and sitting there until somebody kills you.
Yeah, and you don't want
that. In this country, one woman is killed every week. One woman every week by a partner, an ex-partner, by a husband, mm-hmm, by... Yes, it is somebody close to you.
Wow.
We don't want that to happen.
That's true. Wow.
And people believe, oh, what will people say? And I'm telling you, the women are their worst enemies. Because when a woman leaves an abusive relationship, the women are the first to cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
They don't invite you with your children to any housewarmings, mm-hmm, or to any birthdays. Mm-hmm. So you get very isolated. They, mm-hmm, don't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I always, and that's why for me in my job, when I come across a woman who has left an abusive relationship, immediately the first thing I do is to connect her with, mm-hmm, a social group.
Oh, okay.
And I connect her with a mom's group.
Mm-hmm.
And I connect her with a play group, not from her community, from, mm-hmm, a very different community.
Mm-hmm.
And once she gets there, she'll make friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she will never go back to that abusive relationship.
Oh. But
if you don't connect her with that, and everybody has cut her,
mm-hmm,
then she will go back so that she can have a community.
Wow.
It's because she stays in that abusive relationship and have a community. And another thing I find, you see, people, especially the women who are very educated,
mm-hmm,
or the ones you think, or those ones, they are the ones even who sometimes go through a very, very bad abuse. Because they don't want to shame their husbands,
mm-hmm,
or what will people say? Maybe my husband is a magistrate, or my, mm-hmm, husband is a lawyer, mm-hmm, or myself, I'm an MP, mm-hmm, or I am a pastor,
mm-hmm,
or those are the ones who suffer most because of cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
Or my children go to a very expensive school. If I leave, I cannot be able to pay the fees.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to remove your children and the children to have a life because it affects them for life.
That's very true. There's a lot of trauma that comes from violence.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I think you answered about something about your family. Unless you want to add one thing before I ask you the fun questions, and then we can call it a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have two boys. Now, they are men. No, they are not even boys. They are men. I have two grandchildren.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, and I got married again, but my husband passed away 2015.
Sorry to
hear
that.
And he had the early onset dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a very, very lovely man.
Oh, sorry to hear about his death. Yes. Sorry to hear that.
That's okay. Yeah, now I've recovered. It took me so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
so yeah, and you have to love yourself,
mm-hmm,
because if you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and say I'm good, I'm going to make it, I'm going, talk to yourself,
uh-huh,
talk to yourself, dance in the house,
uh-huh,
do things you like,
uh-huh,
because you need to have people. Where do you get that energy from?
Uh-huh.
I say I get it because I wake up very positive. When you feel you are going down,
mm-hmm,
look for something to make you happy.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about some of the things you do to take care of yourself, and already you are answering that question. So I want to ask you some last questions. I know you've met many cultures in Australia. Can you tell us some of the cultures you've met and how they say goodbye? Or hi.
Oh, yeah, I know the hi. My colleague and my friend is from Tonga.
Uh-huh.
They say malo.
Malo. Oh, wow, malo. Okay.
And then another one, they say namaste.
Namaste. Okay.
Yes.
Namaste. You're learning a lot, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, great. Wow.
And then the Aussie say good day instead of good day. They say good day.
Oh, good day. Good day. Oh, wow.
Good day.
Oh, that means good day. Oh, wow. Wow. Good. So if I were to come to Australia, what is the one place you would tell me or someone else, what is the one place you'd encourage us to make sure we visit?
Blue Mountain, Opera House.
Opera House. What is in Opera House?
Opera House is the icon of Australia. It's a beautiful building.
Uh-huh.
It is everyone. I always tell them you have to see Opera House.
Oh.
There's so many. Australia is beautiful. There's so many things to see. And of course, the kangaroo.
Uh-huh.
You can't leave Australia without seeing a kangaroo.
Oh!
Yes, uh-huh. Going to the zoo to see a kangaroo, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. That Opera House and kangaroo.
Yes.
I'll note it down. So hopefully when that door opens, I'll make sure that happens. So what is your favorite meal, Rosemary?
My favorite meal is ugali.
Ugali.
I can eat ugali. From ugali is the Zimbabweans call it mili mil.
Uh-huh.
The South African call it pap.
Uh-huh.
The Italian call it polenta.
Oh, polenta. Oh,
polenta, but ours is white. Theirs is yellow.
Oh,
but ours is white maize,
Okay.
But it's the same way, it's cooked the same way.
Okay.
That's my favorite food.
That's your favorite.
Any type of veggies, cabbage, kale, spinach. Mm-hmm. And of course, barbecue meat.
Oh, barbecue meat.
I like my boozy.
true African.
Barbecue
meat.
That's my favorite.
Barbecue meat. That's good. So I think my last question is, if you were given a chance to meet one person in life, it might be an old friend, it might be a celebrity, who would that be?
Angelina Jolie.
Ah! Great.
You meet Oprah.
Uh-huh.
Two people, Oprah and Angelina Jolie.
Whoa.
I would love to meet them. Why I like Angelina Jolie, how she adapted kids from all over the world. I just love her for that.
Wow.
And how she's so calm.
Uh-huh.
And I would love to meet Oprah just to share my story with her.
Oh.
I just love her and what she's gone through and what she does. I just want to touch her.
Uh-huh. You know what?
Mm.
Always pray. You never know. That door might open. That's great.
Yes.
That's...
And before I finish, I would like everyone to watch Rosemary's Way.
Uh-huh.
My story has been captured in a documentary called Rosemary's Way.
Uh-huh.
And right now, you can get it on online.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's called on SBS On Demand.
Okay.
SBS On Demand. And you can watch it on your house, on your computer,
mm-hmm.
or cast it on the TV. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rosemary's Wing.
Rosemary Wing or Way? Wing?
Way. W-A-W. It's Rosemary's Way, how I do my things.
Oh, the how you do your things. I will make sure.
It captures about what I've talked about,
mm-hmm.
and people can see how they can also use that to give back to the community. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I did another one before that. It's called Boca Mills African Ladies Troop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is a true story of four women.
Okay.
True story, their journey, their resilience. Mm-hmm. Is a sad, you cry, you laugh, but you come out very, very strong.
Wow. I will make sure the resource, those two things you've told me, I will make sure I put it on my show notes so that people can have a reference of where they are. Is there any other resource, any website, anything else you would like people to know in terms of where they can reach you?
They can Google me on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, I have Rosemary's Connections.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do inspiring talks there. Like every day, I do just a clip of encouraging people in Rosemary's Connections. Yeah.
Wow.
And in Rosemary's Way, people can watch it. Like you can watch even round. You can get so many people to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do Q&A. I do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the other day I did with New York.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm doing with Spain in 2 weeks' time.
Uh-huh.
It's really nice. So if you can organize women, like either in US and Canada, we watch it and then you can do Q&A.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you so much for the resources. I'll make sure
and you personally can get that through FundForce. FundForce TV.
FundForce. Okay, FundForce.
TV. You can arrange the viewing. Okay. People will watch it in their own homes. Mm. And then you can facilitate and do ask questions and then I answer.
Oh, great, great. Yes. I think that will be a very great resource and a great meeting point for people because I know so many immigrants. Sometimes we want to either fit in or do something in the community and we don't have the resources or even the understanding of how to do it. So that will be a good encouragement. So we'll make sure people get in touch with you. Thank you so much, Rosemary, for joining us through the Resilient Migrant Podcast. You're one resilient woman. Keep doing what you're doing in Australia and being a voice to the community. Thank you. Thank you. I think the last thing I want to ask, is there anything you think you should have said throughout this interview? The floor is yours.
Thank you, Brenda, for having me. What I would like to tell the women is it's not okay to live in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not okay for somebody to hit you. Mm-hmm. It's not okay that your children live in an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of help out there. Mm-hmm. You're not alone. Just extend your need and we shall help you. It doesn't matter which country you are in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you are. Mm-hmm. Just get in touch with somebody. So many people have gotten in touch with him from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Even St. Rosemary, come and save me. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'm telling you, I save them. Even wherever they are, because what I do, I have people I know, and even I don't know somebody from that area, I'll use all my channels and I'll get services in that area and I connect with that person. Because what happens, many people don't know the services are there. They don't know what to do, but there's help there. Nobody in this world is supposed to live in fear. Organize the women to come for the African Women Dinner Dance. Next year, October, because you always be in October. And then you can start one in Canada after that.
That's a great challenge. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you. Take care.
Okay, bye.